But really, anyone, feel free. I mean it. Just get up, walk out. It's all good. It's all good. I just wanted to start with a quick idea from the Stipler, just as a hakdama. The Stipler writes in his letters that if you learn something once, it's like you didn't learn it. Twice, you didn't learn it. Three times, you didn't learn it. You have to learn something four times, and that's considered learning it once. So there are Chashuva Helaga Talmidos here that we've learned together over the years. There are Talmidim that I've had the zechus of learning with over this past year, a significant amount. So I don't think I'll say anything to anyone here tonight that you already heard from me four times, so that this is a fifth time. But just Chazar is always, always good. So I ask Mechila, if I'm wasting your time for things that are so obvious and you've learned already so many times before. What I wanted to talk about tonight is the most famous Mishnah in Shas. I think by far this is the most famous Mishnah in Shas. Assuming you go to Shul on a regular basis, the most famous Mishnah in Shas is Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Afika Chirbalam Torah Mitzvos. Shenemar Adonai Chafetz Lemansid Ko Yagdil Torah V'yadir. I know someone wants to start Kaddish right now. V'sgadal V'sgadal Shemei Rabba, right? Because when you go to a shul, that's always the mishnah that's said at the end of a shir to start Kaddish Rabbanim. It's by far the most famous mishnah in Shas. Taking out Pirkei Avos in Ein Amin L'Mili's Mishnayos, any mishnah outside of Pirkei Avos, that's the most famous mishnah in Shas, and it's a mishnah that Rishonim really struggle with. Because what are the words of that mishnah? That mishnah, Rotzah Kaddish Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Hashem wanted to bring merits to the Jewish people. Lefikach hirbalem Torah mitzvahs. That's why he threw on top of us hirbalem. He was marba for us. He gave us so many Torah and mitzvahs. The question is, like, I would say, an hafachu, just the opposite. Right? Hashem wants to bring us merits, so don't give us 39 malachas, give us one malacha. And it could be a tough one, boneh. Boneh is a tough malacha. God, just give me bona. I can't build on Shabbos. That's a zechus for me. Because otherwise, Hilcha Shabbos, read the Akhtama of the Mishnah Berurah, Techela Gimel of the Mishnah Berurah, it's frightening. It's frightening, Hilcha Shabbos, to learn all of Hilcha Shabbos. Hashem wants to give us merit, so He gave us so much to our mitzvahs. Well, really, just dial it back. It should just be the opposite. What does this mean? And you look, Rashi has a pshat, Rabbeinu Yonah has a pshat, the Rambam has a pshat, and his Peirush HaMishnayos. There are a number of different pshatim, what exactly this means, al pi machshava. But I wanted to share with you an idea that I heard from a Talmud, a Telzer Talmud, that he heard from his Rosh Shiva, Reb Elie Meir Bloch, Zatzal. Reb Elie Meir Bloch was a person whose family was by and large wiped out in the Shoah. He was in America. He rebuilds Telz from Lithuania. It's transported to Cleveland, Ohio. And he begins to build Talmidim, European-style Talmidim, in Cleveland, Ohio. And Rabbi Elie Meir gave such an important pshat that he used to share this with Talmidim when they were leaving the Beis Medrash and they'd be going to work. This is the yesod he shared with him. And this tells a Talmud, who is not a Rav, he's a big Talmud Chacham, he's not a Rav, he's not an Avodas HaKodesh, you'd probably call him Lay Kodesh, that he's a balabas, but he's very involved in Jewish community, he's very involved in trying to help people, be marba kvot shemayim ba'olam. He said, this is what the Rosh Hashiva told him. Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael Afikach Herbalam Tar Mitzvahs means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us the chusim, so he took so many of the things that we're doing and he made them into mitzvahs. So many of the things that you do every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made into mitzvahs, it all depends on your machshava. It all depends on your perspective. You know, I remember when you used to come to these speeches in Camp Hask on Monday nights, and everyone would say, oh, such tzaddikim, such tzaddikuses, you're amazing stuff you're doing, and we'd look at each other like, what do you mean, this is awesome, we have so much fun here. I hope you're all having fun, right? No? Maybe? Someone? Oh, wow. Oh, my co-counselor, Reb Ephraim. He's here longer than I am. Gewalt. It's my co-counselor. So, we used to have so much fun here. Like, people telling me, I remember one Pesach Kron, you guys are tzaddik. I'm like, come on, really? Like, we're snickering under our breath. Oh, this is awesome. We have so much fun here. What does it mean? We're tzaddikim, we're tzaddikuses. But I think the yesod is this yesod of Rav Elia Meir Bloch. You're right. We have a great time in Camp Hask. It's geschmack. It's a lot of fun. But as long as you have the right perspective, mamish, every second is the greatest of the great. Every second in Camp Hask, you could be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, bringing Hashem Shechinah into this world. It's all a matter of your perspective. And that's what I really wanted to talk about tonight. I wanted to talk about perspective. Because that's what the 3 weeks, this Zman of Bein HaMetzarim that we're in right now, it's all about perspective. It's all about recognizing where we are, where we should be, and how we're going to get there. One of the most important ideas that I've ever learned about this tekufa is a beautiful, beautiful B'nai Yisoster. I was zocheh to learn it with Reb David Cohen Shlita, one of the poskeis manenu, and when he shared it in a small shir setting in his basement in Flatbush, when he shared over this B'nai Yisoster, he started to cry, and he said, I can't say over this B'nai Yisoster without crying. I can, because I'm not such a tzaddik. But it's one of the most beautiful, beautiful ideas that every year, mamish, it's on my notes. When I open up the notebook about Bein HaMetzarim, it's the first idea right there. And the B'nai Yisoschar asks a famous shaila that many ask upon a Peladika Chazal. It's a Gemara that tells us that when the Romans destroyed Bayis Sheni, we know the Kruvim on the Aron were hidden, but there were other Kruvim that were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They were actually like big statues that functioned the same way that the Kruvim on top of the Aron did. That we know when Klal Yisrael was doing Ratzon Avinu Shebashamayim, the Kruvim were facing one another. When Chalila V'chas, Rachmana Litzlan, when the Jewish people were not serving the Ribono Shel Olam the way that they should, the Kruvim were back to back. The Gemara tells us that when Titus went into the Kodesh Kadoshim and violated the Holy of Holies, he found the Kruvim locked in a passionate embrace. And Titus had his Roman soldiers hold the Kruvim up and march them through the marketplaces of Jerusalem, saying, Jews, this is what you're praying to. Look what's in your Holy of Holies. You think you're better than us? You think you're such refined people? Look at what's in your holiest place. So that's not the shaila. The shaila is not how we have kruvim. That's the shmuz about shivasa batamas. That's the shmuz about the difference between the egel and the kruvim. About the eitz hadas tov hara. That's not for now. But the shaila on the gemara that everyone asks is that I don't get it. We just said that these Kruvim acted the way the Kruvim on top of the Aron acted. So what does that mean? That means when Klal Yisrael is not doing the Ratzon of Avinu Shebashamayim, how should the Kruvim be facing? They should be facing away from one another. Here, Titus HaRosh is given the Rishus to go and destroy the Beis HaMikdash Beis HaElokim. Titus HaRosh is given permission to go in to slash the paroches, the blood comes pouring out. And the Kruvim are locked in an embrace? They should have been standing in opposite corners of the room, not looking at each other. What does this mean that the Kruvim not only were facing each other, they were locked in an embrace? It makes no sense. And comes Reb Hirshmael Chavdinov, the B'nai Yisoschar, explains mamish so beautifully, beautifully, masuk midvash, sweeter than honey. An idea actually based on the halachan yardeh, we're not going to get into the halachic aspect of it, but he teaches us that what the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to show us was he wanted to give us one final clear message before we went into the galus. And you know what that clear final message was? I love you. I'm never going to let go of you. as my Beis HaMikdash is burning, as you're being sent far, far away, Hashem says, I want you to know how much I love you. And the B'nai Yisrael says, this tekufa, this time of year, is the time of year of Kol Rodfei Sigua Bein HaMetzarim. This is a zman of Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. This is the time when we step down to be able to push ourselves much, much further, much, much further, higher. But we have to understand, it's all a matter of the perspective that we take. A person can look at this tekufa of Bein HaMetzarim and see incredible darkness. But we know, as the Heilig Akashin Tzur Magid teaches us, that in the greatest darkness is the greatest light. In the greatest darkness, there has to be such heavy darkness because the light is so intense. And as the Abdur Rav of Yisrael says, that these 21 days of Bein HaMetzarim correspond to the 21 days of Yontif that we read about in Parshas Pinchas Kimat every year during the 3 weeks, because Ha Beha Talia, the Kedusha of these 3 weeks will dictate how we conduct ourselves during these 3 weeks, will determine how our Rosh Hashanah goes, how our Yom Kippur goes, how our Sukkot goes, our Shmini Atzeres, our Shavuos, our Pesach. It's all totally on this tekufa, this man. This is the end of the year. This is the end of Tov Shin Ayin Ches. The next Yom Tovim we celebrate are going to be in Tov Shin Ayin Tes. And this is already the hachana for next year. And the hachana has to be Ahavas Hashem Osanu. It has to be Hashem's love for each and every one of us. And this is why specifically during this man, the Kozhen Tzur said, Kol rod fel yisigua bein ha-metzarim, kol rod defka. Anyone who mamish chases after Hashem during this man, yisigua bein ha-metzarim, you'll be able to catch God. Because as we say in Elul Melech Basada, the king is in the fields. And the king is so much more accessible in Elul before Rosh Hashanah when the king is in his palace. You know where the king is now? The king's lying in the street with us now. The Chassam Sofer wrote in Parshas Pinchas a drasha he gave. The Chassam Sofer has the idea that this tekufa of Bein HaMetzarim, the whole idea of galus, is to bring us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much more accessible. Shechinta begalusa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is in galus with us. And that's why during this man we have to chase the Shechina. And we can come close to the Shechina. But what does that mean to chase? What does it mean to chase the Shechina now? So I want to talk about three Yesodos. Three ideas. Again, by the way, anyone wants to leave at any time, please feel free. Mamish. I mean it. Please feel free. But just three Yesodos. That are the three Yesodos that the world stands on. This could also be in the running for the most famous Mishnah in Mishnah in all of Shas Mishnayos. But this one is in Pirkei Avos. But each one, mamish, connects to this tekufa, because that's what we're trying to do now. We're trying to build a world. That's what we do in these 3 weeks. We're building a whole new world. And the first amud of the world is, of course, Torah. And as the Gemara tells us, that Yirmiyahu Navi asked, Alma of the Aretz, why was the land lost? The Navi says, because they abandoned my Torah. And what does that mean? As the Gemara tells us, Shelo berchu batorah tchilo. Lost man, what does it mean? They didn't say berchas haTorah. They were learning Torah, but they didn't say berchas haTorah. And we know, of course, Yirmiyahu was talking about Bayis Rishon. We know Bayis Rishon wasn't destroyed because they weren't learning Torah. Bayis Rishon was destroyed. Why? Because of, right, the big three. Idolatry, adultery, and murder. So what does it mean that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they weren't saying Berchas HaTorah before they learned Torah? So the Medrash Psicha Necha Rabasi tells us that when a person learns Torah, to be able to come close to Hashem, when a person says Torah and you say Berchas HaTorah before, V'harev na Hashem, please make it sweet. There's no bracha like this. We say, Hashem, please make learning Torah sweet for me. Let me enjoy it. Let me enjoy it. Let all my children enjoy it. Hashem, let all your children enjoy it. We should all be Yodei Shemecha. We should come to know your name. The name of the Ribono Shalom is how he's expressed in this world. We should all see you in this world, Ribono Shalom, everywhere. Ha'or shebo machzir m'lamut. If the Medrash says a person who learns Torah for that way, the light in the Torah would have brought Klal Yisrael back. They were on the precipice of adultery, idolatry, and murder. But yet, if they would have just been saying Berchas HaTorah, if they just would have understood the geshmak of learning Torah, understand that when you learn Torah, as Rav Soloveitchik would say, that's when God is talking to you. Open up your ears, open up your heart when you learn Torah. As the Nefesh HaChaim says, do tshuva before you learn Torah. It's transformative. And during this man of Kol Rotfei Sigua Ben HaMitzarim, the first tikkun is the tikkun of Talmud Torah. And Berchas HaTorah, my students from Bur Yonah, I hope you remember, certainly the ones I just learned this with a few months ago, I won't call you out. You know who I won't call you out, don't worry. But we know that women are mechuyevus in Berchas HaTorah also. Women are just as mechuyevus as men in Berchas HaTorah. Even Sephardi women, the Mechaber, the Sephardi women can't say Berchas HaMitzvahs for anything else. And that mitzvah says man grama, even though there's not a formal chiyuv in Talmud Torah, women also have to daven v'harivna. Hashem, please make it sweet for me. And Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, you're in a makom, you're in a place, during these 3 weeks, there's so many opportunities to learn Torah. So many opportunities to taste, to or shabo, the light in Torah. Just have the perspective, as Rebbe Elia Meir said, the perspective of, I want this to connect to me. I'm not learning Torah because I feel guilty if I don't learn Torah. I'm not learning Torah because that's what my Rebbe told me I have to do. I'm learning Torah because I want to hear God's voice. And I want God's words to permeate me to my essence, to my core. And that's the first rodefka. That's the first thing you should be... And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. My brother and I, when we were chavrusas together in Camp Ask, we used to learn with other people for a few weeks, and we realized that wasn't going to happen because we kept falling asleep, me and my chavrusa, while we were learning. So my brother and I made a deal. We would learn with each other, and you could only do this with your brother, that when you fall asleep, you could kick the other one. Like if my brother started falling asleep, we gave each other permission to kick each other as hard as we wanted in the shins. Yeah. Beis Medrash wasn't a big room like this. It was, what's the Beis Medrash now? Brazel, what's that room now? The old shul? It's the game room? The daycare, whatever that is, Reba, right, that room, I mean, you probably could have heard the scream in this big Beis Medrash, but like mamish, we're still like, if you nod off, it's really hard to learn here. You're exhausted at night. You're mamish exhausted. But we said, rodefka. This is the tkufi you have to chase. Rodef isn't stam. Yeah, open up a sefer. You feel nice. Rodef means you have to chase. You have to be crazy for it. You have to go after it. You have to push yourself. And that's the first amud. The second amud, of course, is the amud, Bavanosenu Harabim, it's not avodas hamikdash. Unishal mafarim svasen, it's the avod of tefillah. The avod of tefillah, I'm sure my heilige brother-in-law is giving you deep Torah, the letters of Rabbi Nassim. I shouldn't even speak about tefillah. But we know that tefillah means just talking to Hashem. It doesn't only mean the formal. And I'll tell you, sometimes with campers, imamish, you daven together the deepest tefillahs. Sometimes my campers, when they were davening, I know Shaila that their tefillahs were much more effective and much more real than mine. And you have the opportunity here, the opportunity to be rodef tefillah, rodef it, chase it. Again, we know that tefillah suffers from the same thing that karbanos suffered from b'zman habayis. That the Nevi'im railed against that karbanos just became an external manifestation of religious obligation. It wasn't revealing a deep-seated passion for God and connection with the eternity. And that's the struggle we still have with tefillah b'zman hazeh. But we know, as the Gemara in Bracha says, yesh davar omed berumo shel olam u'bnei adam zalzalim bo. It stands in the height of the universe, but people disgrace it. Because the Yetzer Hara works so hard. Works so hard that we shouldn't daven well, that we shouldn't have kavana, that when we're in Shmona Esrei and when we feel ourselves bowing and we realize, okay, I guess I'm a modin, that we're mevat, that we're just mevat there on the whole Shmona Esrei, we give up. Chas v'shalom. The bracha of modin, Magen Avram says, is the second most important bracha in all Shmona Esrei. We have to fight for tefillah. Rodefka, but again, change the perspective a little. tefillah is not only in the Beis Medrash, it's not only in the Shul, but tefillah is when you just start talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, help me with my camper, I need help. Ribbono Shel Olam, help me get through this day. It can be very, very real tefillahs. But we know that this is what the Ari HaKadosh Alter Rebbe and so many say, that the primary reason Mashiach is in here is because we're not crying for him. We're not screaming for him yet. We have to be screaming for Mashiach Tzakenu. And the way we can do that during Bein HaMitzarim is we have to remember that we're in Galus. I know that sounds strange, because I'm sure we're all passionate about Eretz Yisrael, but we have to know that Camp Haskin, Parksville, New York is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. A Jew, it should be unacceptable that we're here. Unacceptable to live in New York, New Jersey. Who lives here? A Jew should be living in Eretz Yisrael. Once got into a lot of trouble in my shul. On a Shabbos of Yom Atzmut, when I said, anyone who says Hal on Yom Atzmut better have a really good answer why you're not living in Eretz Yisrael. Ooh, wow. Got a lot of upset emails after that one. But during this time of year, this is when we really have to be focused that it's unacceptable. Why do we just assume that, yeah, this is where I live? And I'm not saying, okay, let's go, nefesh b'nefesh, here's the nefesh b'nefesh hotline. I'm not saying that right now. But I'm saying if you don't feel it during this tekufa, this time of year, that there's something out of place when a Jew is living chutz la'aretz, then you have to cry just for that alone. Just for that alone. And this, unfortunately, is the time of year when we focus on the tzaras of what happens to Klal Yisrael. And unfortunately, every year, Bavan Hosein HaRabim, there are reminders of bad things just every year seem to happen during this tekufa of 3 weeks. Hashem Yishmereinu, Hashem should protect us, that nothing bad should happen. But this is the time of year when we think about these stories and we read about these stories and we look back, and unfortunately, we don't have to look back too far. And I don't even mean 75 years ago. I mean 2 years ago, 4 years ago, of tzaras that afflicted Klal Yisrael, of Kedoshei Elyon, of people celebrating on a Friday night, or Judah's talking about a Shalom Zachar, and what happens to Holy Mishpacha in Arzeinu HaKedosha Friday night at a Shalom Zachar. Did we already forget? This is the time of year when you have to remember. And this is the time of the year when your tefillos have to be ramped up. Just has to be. And I know it's hard in camp. I know it's very difficult in camp. Been there, done that. You know when, how quick, we used to time each other how quick you could take your tefillin off in camp ask. Guys should appreciate this. You know, I mean, you got to be ready. Like, how quickly could you get your tefillin off when, okay, whatever. I'm not going to get into the details. But, you know, let's just say there's some times that someone has to take off his tefillin really, really quickly to help the camper get out of the shul. Really, really fast. That happens. And I get it. But it has to be unacceptable. Unacceptable for stale tefillos during this time of year. Unacceptable. And you have to be rodef. Chase. 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 And the last, of course, the last amud, I shouldn't have to talk about it here, but I'm just going to talk about it. Just al pi machshava. Again, to have that right perspective is gemilas chesed. You know, as we said from Rav Soloveitchik, that I understand why Torah and Avodah are two of the three pillars. Because when you want a relationship with someone, there has to be dialogue, there has to be communication. We want a relationship with Hashem. We want to build a world of relationship with Hashem. So we have to talk to Hashem, and Hashem has to talk to us. That's Torah and Tefillah, as Rav Soloveitchik said. But why is Gemilas Chasadim one of the big three? Why is it one of the three big pillars? And we know, as the Ramchal explains and so many others, that in a spiritual sense, right, all mitzvahs are basically 613 ways to attach ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But in a spiritual sense, what does it mean to be attached to something, to some a force that it's impossible to be attached to? Right? What does it mean to come close to Hashem? Like, I'm closer to Rav Willig than I am to Rav Ephraim right now. But when it comes to Ribbono Shel Olam, Uncle Moshe was here, right? So we all remember, here, there, everywhere, that's where he can be found, right? That's where Hashem can be found, everywhere. So what does that mean? That I'm closer to Hashem and I'm further to Hashem. And the Rabbi Kaplan brings the Ramchal so beautifully, and if you were God, and by the way, I know my students should know, this is one of the top 10 Jewish books you must read. If you've never read If You Were God, it's great for Camp Ask. It's like 70 pages. It's a pamphlet that Rav Aryeh Kaplan wrote for NCSY. Very easy read. Deep, deep truths throughout every page. But in a spiritual sense, being close means being domen, being like. When a person does chesed, that is the greatest way for you to be like God in this world. As David HaMelech says in Kapitel Peites, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, Derech HaTov LeHeitiv, the Ribono Shel Olam, the definition of Tov and being a no-saying. And hence, the greatest godly act that a person can do is a chesed for another person. Do you understand how amazing Camp Ask is? I know you're having an awesome time, and I have an awesome time, and it should be Gishmak, and you should love it. But a little bit broad in that perspective, the Rebbe Elia Meir says, do you understand how holy it is? Do you understand how every second that you're here is mamish being bona olamos? How awesome? And yes, it's like the Meiser Moshe Weinberger Shlita tells over, that when he was first, his first child, and one morning his first child got into her diaper, and he walked in to get her, and the stench was just like overwhelming him, and he called his wife, Myrna, like, it's your turn, I can't deal with this one. And his wife walked in, and she was even pushed back by the smell. She's like, whoa, you know, I can say this in Camp Ask, I get it, I can't say this in my shulis way. And then his wife, she got the wipes, she even got, I think he said, gloves. I think that was the way I remember the story. And he said she stood by the door of her daughter's room, closed it a second, and said, "Hinni muchan mezuman, l'kai mitzvah saseh, shal b'yahavta l'reacha kamocha." Unbelievable. Do you guys say that mamish every second? Every second today, every step, "Hinni muchan mezuman, l'kai mitzvah." It's unbelievable what you guys are doing. You just have to have that right perspective. And you're building worlds. Bone olamos. Olam chesed yibaneh. And you have to chase it. You have to chase it, the chesed. You have to push yourself further and further. More and more, because as my students know from this year, those that I've learned with this past year, whether in Eretz Yisrael, whether in Chutz La'aretz, the yesod that I've been working on all year is an idea from the Me'ashi Loach. I learned that this past year, Elul, and mamish, it's been my go-to mussar all year. The way the Meshilach is explained by Rav Yaakov Nagain of Yeshivat Otniel, that he explains that none of us here, I hope, no one here really has a Yetzer Hara. Who here chooses, anyone here have like a real desire to do evil? I mean evil, not like eat without a bracha. I mean evil. Anyone here have a desire for evil? Rahman al-Tzlan, there are people that do these things and they make headlines and we're so disturbed. The guy, you know, for a week is smuggling weapons into a room in a hotel room in Las Vegas, and then he mamsh did evil. Like, but what normal Jew has a desire, a yetzer for evil? No one has a yetzer. Anyone here have a yetzer for evil? If you, please go speak to Dr. Benji, okay? Or Dr. Pollock, you know, like, okay, maybe someone does, and, you know, we'll get you help, you know? But most people don't have a yetzer for Ra, for evil? And he says, and it's based upon the Gemara in Erev and the Machlokis, Bishil, Beishamai, a debate that went on for years, Noach L'Adam, whether it's good to be born or created, not. We don't have a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer, we have a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer HaNoach. We have a Yetzer to do good, and then we have a Yetzer to chill. America is the country of chill. I don't know if anyone had their day off yesterday. We had our day off in the camp that we were in yesterday. My wife and I took our two little daughters after spending time here in Camp Ask with their cousins and their aunt and uncle. We went to Walmart in Ellenville, New York to watch the fireworks with not exactly Anash, but and chill, the people there with their beers and their lawn chairs, they're just watching the fireworks. And after a minute, I'm like, okay, I like, I got to do something. You know, like when I'm sitting here watching, my daughters like it okay. They're jumping around. They're good. I'm on my phone answering emails. I actually have service near Walmart, not in the camp I'm at. But the Mashiach, that's the yisod of life. You choose good or easy, not good or evil. Who's choosing evil? No one's here is choosing evil. You're choosing easy. And when you choose easy and easy and easy, you're pushing yourself further and further away from Tov. Real Tov is work. Real Tov is hard. Avinu Malkeinu Kozvenu B'Sefer Chayim Tov, and we're all going to say it, Yom Naram time. Many, I first heard the idea from my father, but since I've seen it in many Svarim, that refers to Sefer Bereishis. Avinu Malkeinu Kozvenu B'Sefer Chayim Tovim. Who in Bereishis had a Chayim Tovim based upon America's definition of a good life? Did Avram have a good life? Maybe Yitzchak had a good life. Don't even suggest Yaakov Avinu. Yosef? Yeah, we remember he was like a king type of guy, but he was in an Egyptian prison pit. That wasn't good. Who had a good life in Bereishis? But yet it's Avinu Malkeinu Kozvenu B'Sefer Chayim Tovim. Why is it Chayim Tovim? Because Tov doesn't mean easy. Tov means good, and they were Chayim Tovim. They were good lives. And that's what we have to recognize. The Avod of Ben HaMetzorim is not easy. The Avod of Ben HaMetzorim is the greatest Tov, though. This is the Tekufa, the greatest darkness hides the greatest light, as long as you're Rodef, as long as you don't go for the Noach, but and you're here in Camp Ask, so I know you're not going for Noach. I know you're pushing yourself, but I have the chutzpah to ask you to push even more. I have the chutzpah to challenge you to say, are you really pushing yourself as much as you can? With your learning, hearing the Dvar Hashem, with your being able, Shifchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem, pouring your heart out to the Ribono Shel Olam. And the chesed that you're doing, just have that perspective, the Hinni Nuchan Mezuman. This is what Bein HaMetzarim is all about. This is what Chassam Sofer is saying, how Golus can be the greatest bracha because the Shechina is so accessible to us. When Shechinta Begalusa, and I hope, Be'ezus Hashem, as my holy brother-in-law said right before we started Maariv, Chevet is still time. We end with the Nakuda from Reb Moshe Wolfson Shlit at the end of the Gemara Makos, after that Mishnah, B'chavakuk v'hamidan alachas, tzadik be'emunaso yichya. We know the Gemara tells us there are 613 mitzvahs. And the Gemara whittles it down. David HaMelech came and said this many. Shayu HaNavi came and said this many. B'ch HaVakuk V'midan Alachas HaVakuk came and said all of Torah is one mitzvah. Tzadik Be'emunah So Yichya. What does that mean? The Moshe Wolfson Shlita Mashkiach of Torah V'das, Rav of Emunas Yisrael, a very special base medrash in Borough Park, teaches that HaVakuk is one of the last of the Nevi'im. His Nevu'us were for Sof Yom. His Nevu'us were for Achris Yom, the end of days. And Chavakuk was telling us that the end of days is going to be one mitzvah. The most important singular mitzvah is Tzadik Be'emunaso Yichya. A tzadik has to have emuna in what he or she is doing. A tzadik has to have the emuna in themselves that the Ribbono Shel Olam has in Yimodani Lefanechem El Chai V'Kayom. Every morning you're supposed to declare how much emuna the Ribbono Shel Olam has in you. That's what Rabba Emuna Secha means. Hashem has emuna in you. That's why you woke up today. You have to have the emuna in you. You have to have the emuna in what every word of Torah is worth. You have to have the emuna how much Hashem is yearning. As the disciple writes in Berachas Peretz, when you take those three steps forward to start Shemona Esri Kaviyachal, the Shechina is mamish, like hanging on your lips to hear the words whispered. You have to have the emuna that with the right perspective, your avoda, the whole day, is building worlds. And you have to have the emuna that the next time we'll see each other will be in Yerushalayim. And it should be tomorrow. With Hashem's help, but with our work. Hashem should help all of us do the right thing, have the strength to keep pushing ourselves, and the Ezus Hashem will be Zocha to the great light one day very, very soon. Shkoyach!
Thank you so much, Rabbi Marcus, for a beautiful shiur tonight. We're going outside, we have a little bit of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you all.